Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback episode number 409, as this week we bring you the second hour of WCW Great American Bash 1992. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. I am joined by my co-host, the other half of the watch-along tag team champions of the world, Mr. Shane Shadows. Shane, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to the year 1992, and connect with some miracle violence?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Let's rock and roll.
Absolutely. All right. I know for those of you who aren't on Patreon, the schedule's been a little bit weird because we're dealing with some family medical issues here. I'm okay. The kids are okay. Mrs. McNeil's okay. We're getting caught up, and you might notice a bit of more content than usual this weekend. So just roll with it, okay? It was meant to be that way. Let's see. And after this, Shane, we got to start thinking about we're done with part two. We got to start thinking about what we're doing here at the end of July. So just sort of have that in mind.
Of course.
Okay. Good deal. Let's see. Oh yeah. Also, patreon.com/waybackplayback. That's where you'll find all the past episodes and the bonus episodes, including the one Shane and I did recently for Buddy Rogers and Pat O'Connor, 1961.
Yeah, that one was a real special one. I thought, and I think it was something that is definitely worth a listen. I mean, I think pretty much everything we do is worth a listen. But I really like it when we dig in, and the Patreon, the Black Scorpion tears, and so forth. We really dig down deep to try to find some really unique stuff. So it's much different than the stuff that we would ordinarily do on the show.
It's stuff that probably wouldn't win a fan vote, but there you go. All right. So this is the part of the program where we go over what's happening in the world. It's July 12th, 1992. As we covered this, a Sunday. Your New York Times bestsellers, The Pelican Brief by John Grisham in its first week at number one, and Diana, Her True Story by Andrew Morton is in its second week at number one on nonfiction. Poor lady. All right. Shane, are you ready to tackle this one? The number one song on the U.S., according to Billboard magazine, on the U.S. Pop charts. Second week at number one. July 1992.
Yes. July 1992. It's coming up blank.
Okay. Well, Shane, I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. It is Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Who I'm sure is making the casino and ballroom appearances across the country as we speak.
Or he's counting his money. I don't know, one or the other, but he did very well for himself. Now, top movie in the country in its first week. You want to tackle that one?
Batman Returns.
No, the first week at number one for a baseball movie, A League of Their Own, starring Gina Davis and Tom Hanks.
Oh, that is a great movie.
Yes.
Maybe Batman Returns was a couple weeks earlier.
That's true. Tom Hanks's character was loosely based on former Red Sox star Jimmy Fox, although apparently he was not as big a jerkwad in real life as he was in the movie. But it did give us one of the great lines in cinematic history. There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
There's no crying in baseball. Or my other favorite, avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan.
That is memorable. Yes, it is. All right. Well, let's see. Top news story in the country. President Bush announces that the United States is going to stop producing weapons-grade plutonium to use in nuclear warheads. So after doing some research, I can tell you that weapons-grade plutonium isn't all that dangerous unless you breathe it, swallow it, use it in a commercial nuclear reactor, or detonate it inside a bomb. Other than that, it's perfectly safe.
Pretty safe, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sunday Night Baseball, if you decided not to watch the pay-per-view. It was the Phillies and Padres, the last game before the All-Star break in 92. San Diego wins 8-2. Andy Bennis with the win. Home runs from Gary Sheffield and Gerald Clark in the first inning to put them up 5-0, and they never looked back. San Diego didn't have a great year. They barely broke 500, but they got big seasons from Sheffield and the crime dog, Fred McGriff. So,
got that. Yeah. And the following summer, McGriff was traded to Atlanta.
Yep.
summer of 93. I was a Braves fan during that era because it was a National League baseball, and they were on for free on TBS pretty much every day.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I remember that era of the Braves very well.
Mm-hmm. That was Turner right there. You had World Championship Wrestling, and you had the Braves.
Right. Who won the National League East in 92? Was it the Phillies?
Are you going to make me? It was. I don't think it was the Phillies. Are you going to make me go back and look?
The Phillies won in 93. I think the Phillies won and went to the World Series in 93. But I'm just trying to think of who won the East in 92 and who did Atlanta play. Oh, it had to be the Pirates. It was the Pirates.
Yeah, I guess so. Playoffs. 92.
Yeah, the single-tier playoff system. Yeah, and the winners of each division, there was two divisions. It was the Pirates and the Braves. 91 and 92.
Yep, that 92 season was the Braves and the Braves made it to the World Series.
Yeah, Francisco Cabrera.
Yeah. And ran into the Toronto Buzzsaw. So
they did. Oh, well. Yes, they did.
All right. Let's see.
That was a fun little baseball reminiscence there. And
okay.
Once again, way back playback. We're still in talks about negotiating our way into doing more than just way back playbacking wrestling. So if
write,
you guys
write your congressman, kids, or let us know if you want us to do some other things besides wrestling. Wimbledon's coming. Wimbledon's going on in tennis. The previous weekend, Andre Agassi won his first Grand Slam title at Wimbledon on July 5th. Beating Goran Ivanišević 6-7, 6-4, 6-4, 1-6, 6-4. If you needed to be reminded that I did sports talk radio at one point, there you go.
Oh wow! What was his name?
Goran Ivanišević.
Yeah, well, you do, and you'll clean it up, buddy. That's a name. I don't ever remember that one. I was talking with my good friend Doug Delicious today. We were at lunch at Logan's.
Yeah.
A
little bit of
Rocking and product placement. Hey, Dougie. And we were talking about, because I think Wimbledon's going on as we speak.
Yep,
it is. And we were talking about all the tennis players from years gone by. It's amazing the names that I can remember from when I was young, but I don't know who's playing currently other beyond the Williams sisters.
That's the way it is. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah. Jeez. Well, okay. On that note, we will take a short time out and be back with hour number two and some more tag team competition. All right, and while we're doing this commercial, Shane, just want to point out, hi to everybody listening. You can join us on the Black Scorpion tier, patreon.com/waybackplayback. 408 episodes of the show are there, including I think 22 bonus episodes now, including we just recorded Pat O'Connor versus Buddy Rogers from 1961. There's just so much stuff that we can go through, a lot of it on YouTube that we cover every couple of weeks in the Black Scorpion tier, just trying to put up a new episode, and we'd love to have you with us. Just sign up now. Sign up for the first tier, the Time Traveler tier. You get all the episodes in advance, and you get the episodes without commercials. If you want the bonus stuff, you sign up for the Black Scorpion tier, which is what most of our people end up doing. Shane.
And I will do you one better for the entirety of this summer, because I'm excited. If you sign up for the Black Scorpion tier, we want your name and your address, and we will send you a classic 8x10 of a mystery wrestler. We're a way back playback. We're all about the past here. I will send you out of my personal collection a random 8x10 picture from the previous generation. I got hundreds of photos.
Okay.
Between now and the end of the summer, if you sign up with the Black Scorpion here, I will send you an 8x10 photograph. How's that?
Okay. Say? Yeah. So if you sign up for Black Scorpion here between now and Labor Day, let's say.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
That is a great deal. Would any of those wrestlers be Shane Shadows?
Well, it could possibly be, but I mean,
okay.
More to the point, I mean, I got pictures of guys from the whole
wrestling
history. Just, you know, it used to be a common thing. That's how wrestlers got their names in front of promoters before the internet. They would send stacks of 8x10s and informational promotional packets. And, you know, and I got a pretty good collection of stuff, and I can definitely afford to trim down. So if you sign up, I like to give things back to people who are given to us. So
all right,
between now and Labor Day, get a free 8x10.
That sounds like a good plan. So check us out, sign up, patreon.com/waybackplayback. And, you know, if you're a listener, you know, tell your, if you have friends who like the old pro wrestling stuff, tell your friends about this show. We're coming up on our 8th anniversary, and we want as many of you aboard as possible for that, because who knows where we're going to end up next. We've got a lot of good stuff ahead, including this whole 92 bash, and we're very proud to have all of you aboard here on Wayback Playback on the Creative Control Network. And we're back. Let's go ahead and hit this here. We left off at 43 minutes and 31 seconds. Tony Schiavone's there with Bill Watts and Hiro Matsuda, and he's about to throw it to the next match. And I've got them all on the screen. Shane, are you there or thereabouts?
I am there. 43:35 is where I am.
Okay, that'll do. All right, everybody else with us? Okay, 43:31. All right, then we are all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Okay, and the NWA Tag Team Tournament continues. The last quarterfinal match. And this is a heck of a match, by the way.
Well,
they're all good matches, by the way. The lovely Medusa bringing out Dangerous Alliance members Rick Rude and Stunning Steve Austin.
Good golly, what a dream team.
Yeah.
And these guys tag teamed quite a bit, actually. I think they had the previous February, they had tag team on the Clash of Champions, if I recall correctly.
Good sign, by the way.
I missed it. I think it's something about Room 69 or
Room 269 at the Holiday Inn. Key under the mat. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Here's a guy who obviously had all the tools. Here's a guy who I had pegged as a major star. Did I have any idea he was going to be as big as he ended up being? Absolutely not. But Stone Cold had the talent. And Rick Rude, you know, you want to play fantasy booker for a minute?
Let's pretend I know.
Rick Rude comes back in 99 as he was purportedly training to, and goes back to McMahon and becomes a challenger to Stone Cold Steve Austin. Can you only imagine how good
that would have been? Something. Yeah. I mean, Heyman wanted Rude in ECW in 97 and was, well, you know, couldn't get cleared
it was
there.
Well documented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But there wasn't enough money in that. And I think that was Rude probably playing, getting his name back out there while understanding that there was no way that he was going to be working for Heyman in the ring anyway.
Yeah, well, he got himself into WWF off of that, so there you go.
Yes, and then, you know, subsequently, you know, from there to Atlanta, and it was supposed to be coming back, but, you know, you hear different things about his death and things that had happened shortly beforehand, but I've told you I'm sure I've mentioned my favorite Rick Rude story, right? Was meeting him at Denny's when I was, you know, 19 years old, working in the kitchen. He was in town for an independent show.
Okay. Well, there might be people who haven't heard it, so go for it.
Well, anyway, I was working in the kitchen. He came in, they were in town for an independent show. He came in with my dear friend, Tom Brandy. And he also came in with Al Perez's brother, Lightning Lou. All these guys were working a three-shot loop that weekend for Dick Kirchhoff and his son Neil, of course, Neil Superior. Mm-hmm. And I was working the morning shift at Denny's. I already had my tickets. I was going to go to the show that night.
Right.
I went out to the table, and Tom Brandy and Lou signed for me. But Rude asked if I would be willing to wait until after he ate his meal. And, of course, I was I was like, yes, absolutely. And he said, just get back to me after I eat. And unfortunately, the kitchen got very busy and I couldn't get back out. But on his way out the door, Rude stopped and the food pass, asked me my name. And I told him, and he signed a Denny's guest check for me that I have hanging on the wall here.
Well, there you go.
The man cave. Now, he misunderstood my name to be Sean. which has happened.
Sean Shadows, yes.
But I got the Rick Rude autograph.
There you go.
Somehow, I put it on Facebook a couple years ago, and some kid out of nowhere just messaged me and asked me if he could buy it. No, I don't think I'm letting go of this one.
All right, so yeah, Barry Windham and Steve Austin, they worked together a lot in that 91-92, you know,
era. They really did fought over the TV title quite a bit. And, you know, Barry is still really good here. Weight and age and apathy have not quite caught up with him.
No, yeah.
But good Lord, you don't realize how big Barry Windham is until you really...
if you're standing next to him, you realize. But yeah, he's a... There you go.
Because for a lot of his career, not here so much, but for a lot of his career, Barry was kind of thin.
Right.
For the way heavyweight wrestlers were purported. And then, of course, you know, his brother Kendall was like half his
stick,
size.
Yeah. Like a praying menace out there.
Yeah. But again, that's one of the big ways wrestling has changed over the last 30 years is that it's really not a size business anymore.
Nope,
big
not.
Tackle coming off the ropes.
There we go.
The ropes like a
up
as advertised, right into a right hand. As advertised,
that's beautiful.
Yes, always beautiful. Hits the ropes hard, which is just it's a small thing.
That's an art. That's an
he's attacking the ropes. Hitting off of them as hard as he can, rebounding as fast as he can. Sometimes when guys run the ropes, it just looks like they're doing it just because it's almost like it's part of the match that they just have to do.
Right.
Austin always seems like it's something that he... How do I want to explain this? It's like he seems like he's almost kind of... He's hitting them so hard, he's almost off balance. Which is good. Very good. It makes it just kind of an incidental part of a match as opposed to something that they... had to do.
Planned, yeah.
Yes. Because when you think about it, in any other context, the idea of hitting the ropes is kind of silly.
Right.
You know, why would you intentionally run at something and then come running back at your opponent in the middle of the ring when you can get it whack?
Mm. I mean, but the thing to remember here is Austin's been in the business, a little over 2 years, almost three, maybe?
Yeah. I think he started in late 89.
Yeah.
So he's already on the major league stage. He's been there for a year. I mean, he came in the summer of 91, beat Bobby Eaton immediately.
Right away.
TV title. I mean, everyone knew this guy had something. It was just how they were going to get it across.
Yeah.
And Rick Rude, apparently, during this year, is a big mentor to Steve Austin. I think he said that in numerous podcasts and interviews, that Rick Rude was really kind of a a mentor of sorts. We're getting our first look here at Dustin Rhodes here, of course, the natural.
Speaking of deceptively tall guys.
Yes. Everybody in this match is 6'3 and up. Mm-hmm. Everybody's 260 and up. But they don't necessarily because it's not all a body business.
No,
Rude's the only one with an exceptionally good looking body here. Austin's is above average, and Barry and Dustin could barely be considered average looking bodies. But these guys,
They're on the road and they're working every night. They have cardio.
And they're top level talent. I mean, Barry's only 5 years away from 4 or 5 years away from being probably the best American worker in any promotion.
Right.
And that's how good Barry was, especially like in 87, 86, 87. I mean, Barry Windham was, with the possible exception of Flair and possibly Ted DiBiase, the best American in-ring worker.
And I mean, Dustin Rhodes is my age, and he's pretty much been my age, the whole run. He hasn't even been in the business 4 years,
he's a kid.
Yeah, but looks great out there though.
Yeah, I mean, he's your age, and you're what, a year? You're 2 years older than I am.
Yeah. So.
So yeah. So we know where he's at, and so he's still kind of a baby himself. But these guys, him and Austin, they're puppies with big paws. I mean, they're going to grow into it in a big way over the next couple of years.
Rhodes and Austin had two big, they had two feuds and two separate feuds in WCW, one over the TV title and one over the US title.
Yes. And never had a bad match.
Tombstone reversal.
Nice reversal.
Oh, yeah.
I love that one. Kiwi over the hurdle.
Austin with the save.
Right. Yes. That's not understated. It's like, because these guys, they worked so much and they worked so many places already. It's like, if you put yourself in that bubble and you're watching this for the first time and it's 1992, these guys, I mean, Dustin's an up-and-comer, but you don't think of him necessarily as an up-and-comer. These guys haven't been in the business 5 years between them yet, even though Dustin grew up in it. But they're already tried and true veterans, and they're getting better, and they're working along with tag team partners who were not a ton older than they were, but had the ring experience.
Yeah.
Rick Rude is probably a 10-year pro at this point.
Right.
But when Rick Rude started, I mean, if anyone's ever listened to Cornette, when he first started, when he was working TV job matches in Mid-South, he was so bad that he couldn't do the most basic spots right. He was a big, good-looking guy with a great body, but had no concept on how to work.
Yeah, but I mean, back then, if you had the body, and even to an extent today, if you had the physique and the look, they would bend over backwards to try and help you figure out the other stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm of the opinion that Rick Rude is more of an NWA guy than a WWF guy, because I think that he spent the better part of his active ring years working for NWA promotions or WCW. He really only spent 3 years working for Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
87 to 90. If you want
You're right. I'm sorry. I'm just doing the math here.
No, I got you. I think he at this point right here in 1992, Rick Rude is the best working heel in the business.
He was
not that for Vince 2 years earlier. Nice kick out there.
Well, also at this point, let's see, who are Vince's top? Well, Flair is, let's see, Vince's top heels are Flair and, Scott Hall in a little while.
Right. Rude had a good gimmick, but he was sometimes a little mechanical when he was working for Vince. I mean, it got better and progressively got better. But, I mean, Rude was a punch kick guy, but I mean, sometimes as a heel, that's all you need to be.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're feeding the comebacks right and taking the bumps at the right times, you don't look how Barry just flew into those rooms.
Yeah.
Good God almighty. These guys are bringing it, and they're not doing anything out of the realm. Again, it's better to do a difficulty level of 5 and execute it like a 10 than have a difficulty level of 10 execute like a 5.
Exactly. These
matches look like these guys are fighting, and they look like they're fighting for something. There's an intensity about their work. Obviously, the time limit is supposed to be in play here. Maybe I'm getting off on a rant here. I think the time limit is something that they should bring back. They don't focus on time limits enough.
No, they don't. But yeah, Jim Ross did mention at every opportunity, you know, the quarterfinal matches, 30-minute time limits for all these.
Yes. Current day. Oh, nice bump by Austin.
Oh yeah.
Nice bump by Austin. You can really tell that Austin liked working with Barry.
You can
totally see it.
He's not the only one back then, but yeah.
Nice crossbody. Barry's only 32 here.
Yeah, I guess.
I think his birthday is July the 4th, I think. I think he was born 1960. So that's what makes him 32 years old.
Yep.
Yeah.
Rude's going up. Perfectly legal, though, in this tournament. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's being held under NWA rules.
Oh, too.
Medusa's playing a good role here too, as well. I mean, she's not, she's involved, but she's not over involved.
Right. Yeah. Oh, geez.
I look on Barry's face. The interestingly here, it's obviously the veteran is going to be the guy who works through the heat.
Right.
He's going to give the rook a hot tag. Mm-hmm. Or not, he's not a rookie, but he's, you know, he's
the two experienced guys are doing all this. Yeah, there we go. All right. Nicely done. Boom.
Oh, cut him off. Good, he did. Smart. He knocked him so far into the corner and he quickly rebounded. And draw him in. Bring it. Yeah.
All right. There we go.
They knew where they were at. They knew where they were at. And a cover.
Right.
Who knows? Dose.
Nope. No, sir. All right.
This is one of the real fun parts of when we do on this show. I hope that
it's breaking this stuff down. Yeah.
My energy enthusiasm comes through because breaking this stuff down is what I really love doing.
No, it carries.
To me, it's like a game film.
Yep.
You know, watch it all. This is how you learn. You know, this is what I was told in wrestling school. Watch everything.
Watch the guy. Yeah.
Not on the, well, the top level because they're not good.
Watch right.
It. You know, don't be a mark. Don't be dumb about it. I mean, it's fun to cheer and boo, but really watch what they're doing and the timing and, you know.
Yeah.
I can sit in the cheap seats anywhere and watch wrestling matches like, you know.
Right.
Because that's, you know, that's what I used to do. There's certain buildings that we'd wrestle in. I'd just sit in the back or like Apollo Theater in Martinsburg. You know, they had a whole balcony section and nobody was at.
At the Apollo.
The rest of the guys would go down and sit in the locker room and try to convince themselves that they were really heavyweight champions. And I'm sitting in the back of the building watching all the matches pretty much by myself. Because,
well, I don't know.
I want to see what everyone else is doing. You know,
I'd be there sometimes, but yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, even like when I was working different promotions there.
Right. No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I want to see what I'm doing. I want to be different than what everybody else is presenting, you know.
By the way, the featured bout for this episode, the winners of this match are going to pop right back into the semifinals against Hase and Hashimoto. So,
wow, that's a tough amount of business.
Well, and up next, of course, is. After this is the first semifinal, which is Steamboat and Koloff against Doc and Gordy.
Well, I can't hate on that either.
No, I really can't.
We're going to see the world championship match as well.
I have no intention of hating on any of this.
Yeah. This is an odd choice for a pay-per-view for a Great American Bash, but it's going back and watching it. So, I mean, the matches, the action's been very good.
Yeah, I mean,
very good.
If the focus is to make sure you have good action for the people who are paying their money, then yeah, you're doing your job. Yes.
Right.
Okay.
A little desperation there for Barry as he gets rolled into the ring and oof.
Oh, there we go.
And we're going to try to finish this thing off. Awesome.
He uses
the ropes, but Pee Wee caught him.
Yep.
I don't think we're going to have I don't think in this match we're going to get to see the beauty of Barry taking the back elbow and doing the cartwheel flip back over the ropes and hitting the railing at ringside.
Probably not.
Just a thing of absolute art.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of stuff that if you're, you know, a wrestler, at least from my era, that's the stuff you long to imitate. Like those almost impossible to duplicate bumps.
Yes.
Over the, you know.
Here we go. It's looking good. Wyndham's been cut off. Austin and Rude are talking. Medusa's,
everyone's in their spots and
everybody's where they're supposed to be.
Austin's going to try to get in a position now.
Oh, yeah.
Snooker Pee-wee here in Rude.
There we go.
Dustin's taking exception to it. Deuce is up trying to get him out of the ring.
Which
creates a unique opportunity there for the the black hat.
Hey, scene, wait a minute. Even Jesse's pointing out, hey, they didn't tag.
Yeah, the look on Rude's face is, you know, like, what? Like, huh? We didn't do nothing.
Go. All right, here, fine. We'll tag. Yeah, here you go.
Working, geez, just working hard.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Firing in some.
Especially considering that, you know, that some, you know, one of these teams has to go on and work again.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the things about a tournament.
Oh. Nope.
Ooh. Ooh. It doesn't have to. Yeah, it doesn't have to look. You know. Doesn't have to look beautifully choreographed all the time.
It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't always have to be pretty.
Right. I'm operating on instinct.
Yeah, and Barry lands on him, but yeah, Austin's face down. So it's like in the other situation, he probably could have got a near fall and possibly a three, which is exactly the why they probably did and laid out that bump that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because it gives you just that little bit of storytelling. That you can only really have in happenstance. Like, oh, if he only would have been on his back.
Exactly.
Big reversal here. We're just going to
come on, Barry.
Oh, no. Ooh, nope. Atomic.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay. The inverted atomic drop. Nope. Oh, they hit heads.
Smacking noggins crack together.
Double noggin.
Dustin's anxious to see some action. I think this crowd here in Albany is anxious to see it too, because Barry is
absolutely
just, gave him everything they've had. Here comes Austin. Look, yeah, there it is.
Yep.
The measure of Barry's talent is he had several great tag teams with several different partners. Him and Dustin were exceptional. Obviously, his tag team with Mike Rotundo. Good. Oh, nice drop kick. There goes Rude. He's out of here. Big reversal.
Yep. Oh, look at that. You can't make it look much better than that.
And yeah, now it's all breaking down. And
there we go.
They're stooging Rude out of here, but I think.
Okay.
How's this playing to the finish?
Windham and Austin. Hold on.
Cross body situation or a sunset flipper. Oh no, none of it. Who knows? Deuce. And he got him with a clothesline off the top.
Hey. I think that was an edit for the home video where they just sort of slipped their, you know.
Yeah, something got slid in there.
Yeah, something got slid in there because the director missed it originally. But there you go. Rhodes and Windham. Advance. Yeah.
Hell of a match.
Oh, yeah.
Hell of a match. I mean, even the match that wasn't so great was not bad.
Right.
On this card.
Mm-hmm.
So far. In my opinion. You know, this is.
Yeah, I mean, this is. You know,
I've been a fan of tags.
Just get your. You know, just make sure you've got your talent. Make sure you have good talent. And put them in a position to deliver. That's, you know.
Absolutely. Yep, you know,
that's what it's all about. Are you getting a commercial here? Because we got Eric Bischoff back with Harley Race and Vader.
Yes, I'm on a commercial here for. I don't know, some movie. I'm not really paying much attention.
Vader is calling himself, Harley Race is calling Vader the uncrowned champion. Well, what do you have to say for yourself, Harley?
let me tell you something, Bischoff.
This man is prepared. It would be a very gross misstatement.
He's prepared.
This was during the era in which Harley was doing his Colonel Harlan Sanders impression.
Right. You know, there's going to be a lot of disappointed little stingers out there. This man is ready.
Stinger!
Those two always had very physical, tough matches as well.
Vader's going to take away. He fears no man. He feels no pain.
Well, that's good. I mean, if you're not going to fear any man, you had better hope you don't feel any pain. So
that makes it a lot easier, I think. Okay.
Yeah, you would think so.
All right. Vader's confident.
As well he should be. You know, he's got the leg up, and did he not injure Sting previous?
That's right, he did. Holly, pick up on line one. Okay.
Yep. Okay, we're going back down to the ring now. Are you back down to the ring?
Oh yeah. I'm at ringside with Jesse and JR.
Yeah.
Our next pay-per-view spectacular will be October the 25th. WCW Halloween Havoc.
Yeah, we did that one a few months ago.
Oh, yes.
Was that one of the early ones once I stepped in Jim Valley's shoes? Or was that when I was still co-hosting or guest hosting?
What kind? Okay.
Wasn't pretty.
All right. We got, Jim Ross letting us know what we're going to see next. First semifinal match ready to go. Let's get to Gary Capetta. Here we are. And making their way back out, Ricky Steamboat and Nikita Koloff.
Hey, I'm not quite there yet. You're a little bit ahead of me.
Well, you can catch up here during the entrances. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to.
And it's going to be our first look at the night on our first look for the night on Steve Williams and Terry Gordy. We have the advantage having having won their quarterfinal at the Clash, and not here.
By beating the Steiners.
That's right.
Eliminating them
from Nagoya, Japan. 545 pounds.
The Miracle Violence combination.
Yep.
Which is as good of an example as any of the languages just do not try to translate.
Yeah, it works, yeah. But yeah, why not, you know? Call them whatever the hell you want to.
Yeah. Why? I'm starting to have some peacock problems here.
Yeah, well, it happens. Doc and Bam Bam, kicking butt is our business, and business is good. That's a fan sign. They got their nice robes on.
Referee, big week for them.
That's right. Mike Adkins looks like a grumpy sheriff from the 1880s.
Yeah. Or an extra on Sheriff Lobo.
Yeah, well.
All right, well, yeah, here comes the Miracle Violence.
Sheriff Lobo, keep us strong. Keep us strong. All right. Okay, so we got.
Brought to you, by the way, back playback, ladies and gentlemen.
Steamboat and Gordy. All right, but if you don't want this, you can call the 900 line and hear Gordon Soley and Lance Russell doing the play-by-play. Wait a minute.
That's an interesting combination.
You're paying Soley. Okay, so you've hired Gordon Soley and Lance Russell, and you're paying them good money to come to Albany, Georgia, and do the call for the 900 line. Okay.
Makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I doubt they still have it, but the alternate commentary would be something.
Oh, wouldn't it be great to have heard like those audio tracks or have those still existing. That would be awesome. So I digress. We're getting ready to kick things off here with Gordy and Steamer. I'm a little bit behind you here, I think.
Yeah, you're a bit behind, but yeah, I've got Bobby. Gordy's already got him in a headlock here. So and Jesse points out, you know, now they have to shift gears because they were, you know, Koloff and Nikita and Ricky were fighting the light heavyweights, and now they got the super heavyweights in there.
That's an interesting analysis for sure.
You know, Jesse tried. You know, I mean, when Jesse's paying attention, he can. When Jesse's engaged and paying attention, he's very good to have on the broadcast.
Yeah, when Jesse's worried about something besides getting Jesse over.
Right.
He could be very good. Yeah. You know.
Mm-hmm. That's a good opening sequence. And he gets the tag into Doc, and Doc gets an arm drag from Ricky Steamboat. There we go.
Cranking it. Steamboat can go back to playing the role that he is most comfortable. As we saw in the match last week, he was almost a heel in some of his motions and his bumps.
Yeah. But there's no doubt who the heels are in this one.
Yes. And there is a difference in how, I mean, at least there used to be a difference in how heels bumped and baby faces bumped.
Correct.
Big shoot off leapfrog, and I'm still a little behind you. Nice hip,
right.
Arm drag. Haven't seen Doc in the match yet, but I think we're about to here.
Well, you know, I mean, you watch this, and you know, I don't remember, you know, any other time when Ricky Steamboat was in there working with Terry Gordy and Steve Williams.
I don't either. Maybe during these, you know, I mean, this pay-per-view, and this might have happened a couple times in the subsequent months before the end of 92, before Doc and Gordy left for good.
Yeah.
But there was a lot going on. Right. It really shifted the focus. By the end of the year, it was maybe a couple different switches. I mean, Dustin and Barry would get the belts at one point, and
yes,
and then that was really more just a setup to get them to feud,
right.
And then Steamboat was back involved by the end of the year in that scene with Shane Douglas.
Yep, that's right. And then you'd get, and by the start of 93, you'd have Steamboat and Douglas out there tearing it up with Austin and Pillman on house shows, and just, you know.
Yeah, Pillman's going to become a heel here in the next couple months.
Mm-hmm.
So things are changing. It's the ever-changing world of wrestling.
That's right. But there, I mean, but there, you know, if this is the Bill Watts era, you're going to get a strong focus on the tag teams.
Yes. And I liked it. And everything I've seen so far, as we review this 30-year-old program, I've enjoyed immensely.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Little old Doxa, Oklahoma University, wrestling background there, is they were like spotting the head and shooting the half and leg dives and so forth like that. It's a different, completely different presentation of a match. But it's just Steamboat just fighting his way out of the corner.
Yeah, and I'm at the point where Koloff's in there with Doc and Nikita does not have the power advantage here, which is kind of unusual for him, but. Okay.
Nikita Bull getting pulled into the corner, fighting his way out.
Right.
Nikita's I would say by this point, is a pretty, pretty decent worker.
Oh, yes.
You know, he learned. I mean, he was put in the spot because he got over, even though he wasn't ready. But sometimes you got to, historically, sometimes. You put a guy
he worked, in. Yeah, he worked his way into being ready, you know?
Yeah, he worked his way into being good. And yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Standing, just a standing drop kick from Koloff on Terry Gordy. Just like, crowd loves it.
I haven't seen that yet. I'm watching him and Doc Hustle fighting on the mat.
Nikita, Nikita, Nikita.
When something's good and well done, it's good and it's well done. And
okay. And now Koloff's taking the heat some more. Okay.
I think Terry Gordy is like 30 years old here.
Yeah.
And already been around the world. Yeah. One of the best anywhere up until, yeah. You know, I just saw the key to drop kick and the thing freezes. Now it's back up. So,
okay.
Shatawata, free bye.
Shatawata, yes. Shatawata, David Crockett.
Oh, he just dumped the key on his head with that fireman's carry.
Yeah.
Ow.
That's painful right there.
Yeah. Don't I know it? A body scissors by the dock.
Up, pulls him back into the corner and back to Gordy. Yeah. Koloff making a tactical mistake instead of tagging Steamboat. He sort of, well, there he goes. Now is a tag. Okay. Now Steamboat's in.
Slower pace here, obviously.
Steamboat, yeah. Yeah, Ricky is just so smooth.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen that man so much as stumble. You know?
Doc, okay.
Yeah. Peacock freezing up, slowing things down. Yeah.
Doc, yeah. Hmm. Well, Doc bowls him down, and Steamboat you know, has to counter wrestle his way out of it, back to his feet. Hmm. Yeah, I mean this is you know, this is tough. Like we talked about, this is a tough sell for WCW because you're doing a pay-per-view built around tag team wrestling and the Steiners aren't on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of that was, I think, that during this period of time that they were kind of rapping the Steiners on the nose.
Yes.
They had been kind of full of themselves. They had injured some people, probably taken some liberties.
Right.
And the whole Doc and Gordy thing, it had these so-called smart marks salivating at the idea that would the Steiners try to quote-unquote shoot with Doc and Gordy.
Well, geez, and, I mean, watching them fight each other was enough, you know. But that was good enough.
Yeah. You know, creating interest in matches. Imagine that.
I know, it's crazy.
But yeah, they beat that Japanese kid up pretty good at the Wrestle War pay-per-view before this one. They beat, I think his name was Azuka.
Azuka, yeah. No, it was Azuka.
Did he quit?
I might have if it was me, yeah.
Yeah, they beat the dog out of that poor kid, you know. I mean, they weren't going to do it to Fujinami because Fujinami is a legend and you didn't, you know, I think even back then they knew better than to do that because their bread was buttered. You know, their New Japan deal, Fujinami was way up the pecking order there.
Right.
Steamboat firing in some shots in on the dock. You're right, just so smooth. He's always in it. He's always
all right,
in
there,
it.
There, yeah. Now he's going to be taking the heat for a while.
Gordy's probably in as good a shape as he was ever in right here.
Oh, yeah.
Physically, he didn't have the stomach. The baby fat was gone.
Mm-hmm.
He was a top-level guy.
They were. You know, they were Japan. Both.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. Sure. These guys are main eventers in Japan as a team and on their own.
Right.
Because they can go.
And I mean, they had made the deal to bring them in before Bill Watts took charge.
Yes.
That's the thing.
And they work for Mama. Imagine this is not easy. Based on a Japanese politics here.
Right.
NWA all throughout this show is touting their relationship. WCW is touting their relationship with New Japan, and Doc and Gordy work for the rival of that. So this is not, you know, necessarily an easy deal to make.
I've also got to believe, you know, they brought Williams and Gordy in. They were thinking, well, these guys will be, you know, we can't use them every month. They'll be like special attractions. You know,
yes,
but yeah,
but they were around every month for a while, and then when it was time to go, then they were gone. It's like they beat them on TV, and then that was the end of it.
Yeah,
and now they're frozen again.
All right, and the Steamboat's being cut off, and let's see what we have here. Duck down, crossbody, and Doc catches him. Oof. Nope.
Of course, I'm in the, once again, in a freeze.
Well, I'm sorry, but, yeah. Okay. All right, and, Doc is going after the ribs, I think. Trying to stretch him. There we go.
A point of power attack.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They've settled the crowd back down a little bit. Now Ricky's got to fight his way out. Okay, and pull him back in the, and Doc pulls him back in the corner, and here comes Terry Gordy.
Where are you at from a time perspective? See where.
Oh, let me see here. 125:25, 125:26, 125:27. Yep.
I'm trying to get back to where you are.
Okay, DDT by. There we go. Yep. Steamboat selling the ribs. Oh, and a tag to Nikita Koloff finally. All right. And Nikita gets the better of Gordy. Oh, nope. Went for the shoulder block once too often, and Gordy was ready for him.
Boom, nice tackle for Nikita. I'm probably about 5 seconds behind you now as opposed to 2 minutes.
Okay, that's better. All right, and here comes Dr. Death.
Anticipated that tackle and almost spiked you into the mat.
It doesn't always have to look pretty. It just has to be look effective.
Yes. Absolutely correct. Can't say that enough. Nope. The Doc, with a stun gun type maneuver across the top rope on Moscow's favorite son.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What did I get to see recently that I? Yeah, I know I'm still behind on the current wrestling, but I did get to see Suzuki and Samoa Joe for the Ring of Honor TV title of all things, which just, you know, we're just here. Go. Let's just stand here and hit each other for a few minutes and
Bam. Yeah, I think it's great that the owner of this, he's really caught on to the wrestling. He goes on, oh, he brags about his ratings, brags about his demos, where, you know, oh, this got the greatest ratings. This got, you know.
Yeah, show me some wrestling. Yeah, show me. That's great. Show me some wrestling matches.
Absolutely, please. Please, please. Just with that leg scissors here, just wear it on Nikita.
And it's, I mean, it's tough to do modern wrestling where you're trying, you know, that's, you know, it's kind of hard to build towards anything bigger when you're filling all that time every week.
Yes, and you feel an obligation to try to put your biggest stars against the biggest stars because they're paying
right.
Buku dollars to have you on television.
All right, Gordy going for the STF, locking it in on Koloff. There we go. Up. Oh, nope. Koloff fighting his way. Yeah, I don't know if he can. I don't know if Gordy can hang on to it.
He's trying to get his hands locked and he can't.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Doing what he can with his 290 pounds there to lean in on the
key. Yeah, that part would be painful anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see, Gordy. Let's see Dr. Death in here. Boom. Yeah, Steve Williams didn't work out in the Brawl for All, but you know, in the context of a wrestling match, 1992 Steve Williams is pretty gosh darn tough.
Yeah, and honest to God, he really only lost that fight that way because he tore his quad. He wouldn't have gotten knocked out like that. I mean, no disrespect to Bart Gunn, but I don't. Doc was a little older.
You're not proving anything by putting them in a like, you know, tough man contest.
Yeah, it was like ridiculous and, you know, foolish and stupid and every other thing you can come up with. But
oh, yeah.
That isn't good.
All right. Oh, Koloff's going to fight his way out of the Boston Crab. There we go. Williams grabs a rope, tags Gordy. About 20. We've gone 20 minutes in this one, folks. Oh my goodness.
We're going deep.
We are going deep. Gordy with the movie calls the Oriental Twist. Ah, looks a little like.
Yeah. An awful lot like what he just had on a few minutes
ago. Yeah, I agreed.
You really want to make this hold tough. Try to get underneath there and put a half Nelson on it.
Right.
Yeah. Good luck with that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this isn't the Octagon, so we're going to go ahead and... They also don't have tag team mixed martial arts for some reason, you know?
Yeah, they would come up with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be something.
That would be an interesting...
Imagine, well,
an interesting watch.
Okay. Oh, there we go. That power slam. All right. Doc's calling for the stampede. Well, he's signaling for it, and he's got him up. All right. Nope. Nikita gets out. Oh, they hit heads. Oop.
Oh, I've already seen a power slam.
Both men are down.
Oh, now he's going. Now he's going for the Oklahoma Stampede, right?
Okay, there we go.
Third quarter. Nice.
All right. Who's going to tag first? Oh, Ricky Steamboat's in. Oh yeah.
Oh, he got the tag. The
steamer. He's a bear, I mean,
There's he's a family man.
He's a convincing baby face. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Martial arts chop to the head.
He does just what he can. Whoa. Gordy beats Williams.
The referee's lost control over this one.
It's breaking down in Tulsa.
Oh, the chop to the top of the head. Steamboat's going to come off the top rope again. Oh, wait a minute. Nope. Referee's tied up with Nikita. Here you go.
Chop to the back of the head of the dock.
Oh, and there's the, there it is.
Big follow up.
And there you have it.
The modified Oklahoma Stampede.
The tag team champions of the world are going to make it all the way to the finals. Yeah, if you're anywhere in that building, it's hard to believe. Yeah, you've got your money's worth, especially if you came in with a free ticket.
Yeah, really. Imagine how many people, possibilities if people walk in there and get free tickets to a pay-per-view and had never watched a wrestling match or seen this before. And how do you leave that building after watching these matches and not become a fan of this?
I don't know.
My comprehension. And, you know, as a business in and of itself, WCW was always pretty much a mess. But
you've got a commercial and yes.
I prefer their in-ring matches to WWS.
Right.
It's a better style. More physical.
Okay. Mayor Jesse should make Jim Ross a garbage man. Okay, that's a nice sign.
Someone didn't care much for Jim Ross.
I guess not. Okay. So yeah, they're talking over this next tag team match we're gonna get. And boy, this is gonna be this will be fun.
Sheamus have hold a bag of frozen peas to his head.
Okay. All right, here we go. Back to Gary Capetta. All right, for the other semifinal match. Yay. One fall, 30-minute time limit. But if they go to the time limit, then Doc and Gordy win the tournament automatically. And we don't want that. Yes.
Not at all.
All right. There's Hase and Hashimoto. Looking like the Oriental version of Norm MacDonald and Artie Lang.
And spoiler alert, I once again have had peacock problems.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
They've been real bad tonight.
I'm sorry about
real
it.
Real bad.
People are having thunderstorms all up and down the East Coast, so understandable. 135-40, 135-41. Et cetera, et cetera. Okay, and Rhodes and Wyndham are going to make their entrance. Well, at least they got like 20 minutes to, you know, catch a breather there. Could have been a lot worse.
I think I'm back with you here, Dustin and Barry. Mm-hmm. Get ready to enter the ring.
Yep, that's it. Okay. And they're pointing out that, you know, technically, Hase and Hashimoto had the easier match.
Yeah.
Just a bit. Well, all right, here we go. All right. Okay, here we go. Hase and Dustin Rhodes starting us off.
Feeling each other out.
Yeah, people are taking their kids to the restroom because we don't have any intermission here for this thing. So, Plus, they're probably figuring, you know what? You know what? We'll get back from the restroom, and this match should still be going on.
You remember the first couple wrestling pay-per-views actually did have intermissions on them.
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
I remember. Yeah, you wouldn't think of it today.
I remember Wrestle War had an intermission so they could set up for the Oak Ridge Boys.
That's right. Jim and I discussed the Oak Ridge Boys. Yeah. Well, actually, the Oak Ridge Boys not part of the Peacock or WWE Network version of Wrestle War.
Because they don't want to pay them to play the music.
Yeah, which is a shame. Elvira.
Giddy up.
Boom, boop, meow, meow. Yes, that's right. Well, yeah, I'm sorry. You know, people are not going to shell out $30 for wrestling pay-per-view just because their favorite country artist is going to sing a couple songs on there.
Yeah, well, just think about it. A year later, they tried to do the same thing with a robotic cop.
RoboCop. That's right. Well, I mean, this was an ad for a movie that I think Turner had some, you know, financial investment in.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I understood that. I understand the tie-in.
Why would you insert that into the, you know, how does RoboCop get to be part of one of the storylines here?
Yes.
And why does Gordon Solie have to narrate this? Here comes RoboCop.
And why is Sid Vicious wearing a tuxedo?
I don't know. Well, it gives it a sense of occasion, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, they're trying to get him over on TV, even though he wasn't able to work yet or whatever.
Right. Okay.
There's a clip I haven't seen in 30 years. The Sid Vicious joins the Four Horsemen clip.
Ah.
Like a lot of that stuff is like forgotten to time.
And some of it for a reason, yeah.
Yes. Well, fair enough.
Well, I believe at one point the plan was to have Cornette, as Cornette has mentioned, to have Cornette sell Eaton and Lane to the, you know, to the Horsemen.
Yeah, and then Jim Herd dumped on it, which, you know,
it's Jim
caused
Herd.
A lot of problems between them.
Right.
As the problems continued to escalate.
Mm-hmm. Although, yeah, it would have been kind of weird, though, to be honest.
I don't think it would have got over.
No, probably not.
You know, I mean, the Four Horsemen being who? Flair?
Well, let's see. Flair, Arn, Eaton, and Lane.
I don't think they were great.
I mean, Wyndham's a better choice than, you know, obviously Eaton or Lane, just in terms of fit. And then, you know, Sid, I don't know. I mean, Sid, I don't know about, but you always needed that one bigger guy there, you know?
Yeah, well, the idea being that guy is that big young upstart is the guy who you should be building, be taking on Flair in the next year or two.
Right.
Yeah, ideally, you know, that would have, you know, yeah. You're teaching, he's part of your unit, and then once you feel like he's ready or close to being ready, you create the angle or the descent takes place. Mm-hmm. And then he starts working his way up through
it. Right.
You know, it doesn't take a genius to put this stuff together.
No, it doesn't.
You know, I mean, it helps.
All right, so Dustin Rhodes taking the punishment so far. Hase is going to work the arm.
Excitement personifies taking our second look. Not very often that we take a look at the same individuals or team in the same hour, the way back playback, but in this case we are.
Right. You know, I mean, this Rhodes and Wyndham are, you know, I mean, yeah, they're getting Barry and Dustin over here. Not that they weren't over, but not that they weren't over before this. But getting them over as a tag team.
Correct.
Or as Jesse just calls them, the two Texicans, you know. Asa's a guy you can trust, and there's Hashimoto is gonna. There we go. Boom. Yeah, Hashimoto is one of those guys that Bill Watts saw this guy and was like, can I keep him for a while?
Right. He was a good talent.
Oh, yeah. Future NWA World Champion, by the way.
Yes. Did he die in the ring?
Ah, jeez. I hope not, but I'm gonna have to look it up, aren't I? Okay, so Shinya Hashimoto. A lot of talent here on this show and in this hour. So let's see. Shinya Hashimoto, cause of death. Okay. Brain aneurysm. Let's see. After he turned 40. No, not in the ring, apparently. But he died suddenly. Let's see here.
I think it was 2005.
Yes, July 11th, 2005.
I think I was on vacation. I think you
had been complaining about chest pains and a regular heartbeat, but had refused to go to a doctor.
That was also the same weekend that Vince fired 28 pieces of talent. I remember you calling me. I was on vacation.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I can't believe this. Other than the guys he let go, the Dudleys and all that group. I was on vacation that week. Remember that now when Hashimoto died.
Okay, and after the show, Gordon Soley and Lance Russell will be interviewing the winners of the tag tournament and the winner of the title match on the Wrestling Hotline. Okay. Yes, Jim Ross is putting over the sportsmanship by these two, by Hashimoto and Dustin. And right on cue, we go to the punches. There we go. Yeah, have some sportsmanship upside your head. Okay. All right. There we go. Okay, Hashimoto off the ropes. And, that flying backspin kick. All right. Tag to Hase. We're going to get the spike pile driver. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, it sure did.
Oh, yes. They're talking to somebody in the crowd. Yeah. Okay. Oh, Dustin's in real trouble. They had followed up right there. Match probably would have been over, but nope. Okay, here we go. Dustin's going to fight his way back. All right. That's not a legal tag. There's no way that's a legal tag. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're approaching those things right now.
Come on, tag him in. Didn't see the tag because there wasn't one. Jeez. Okay, we'll tag him now. And here we go.
Dustin firing him in here. Hase's fighting back in return.
Okay. Boom. Yeah. I mean, whatever else you think of, you know, of this style, you can't say that they're not telling a story on this show.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Okay. Boom. All right, now Hashimoto coming in, looking to finish him. Oh, there we go. Wyndham's going to make the save here. Kind of has to. Okay. Nope. All right. Oh, no. Knee lift.
Dustin's trying to reach for Barry.
Yeah. Well, Barry took a good share of the heat in the last match, so you want to mix that up a bit. All right. And another two.
Well, then your falls here.
Hashimoto, quite a change of styles from Akira Nogami, who is the guy he was replacing on this. Yeah, I'm trying to imagine any situation where Vince McMahon would run a pay-per-view from Albany, Georgia. And I cannot.
And book Hiroshi Hase.
Yeah. All right, 15 minutes gone by already.
Hase, top rope.
Here we go. No, missed it.
Here comes Barry.
All right. Come on, and there it is, the hot tag. Okay, everybody, time to feed Barry. All right, Barry doesn't care. Yeah. Barry will get you. All right. No.
Big Barry's got the abdominal stretch on there. So
there we go.
Like blows in.
Boom. Boom.
Now we got another breakdown here at the junction.
Yeah, and Jesse can't help himself. He likes Barry Windham.
Yeah, well, why would you not?
Well, no, there's no reason, yeah. Oh, hold on. Rose and Hase in there. Leapfrog. Oh! Runs right into that lariat. That's it.
And that's the match that Japanese really.
All she wrote. And we have our finals, man. We have our finals for next week's show. It's going to be Rhodes and Wyndham, Doc and Gordy. All right. So two Texans against a guy from Georgia and an Oklahoman. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Boom. There we go. Nice. The highest compliment is when you can do run a replay of slow motion of the match and it doesn't look, and you don't cringe as a wrestling fan. There we go. All right, let's call a halt to this one right here at 1:52:19.
It's the most successful independent wrestling promotion of this generation. It's the place where the stars of today made their name. Now get the inside story of Ring of Honor from those that lived it with an honorable mention. Join Ring of Honor alumni Shane Hagedorn and his co-host Jeff Schwartz as they break down a classic Ring of Honor event every Tuesday and get the behind-the-scenes scoop and inside stories that you won't hear anywhere else. An honorable mention, available every Tuesday on your favorite podcast platforms. For exclusive bonus content, plus early ad-free access to every show, check out patreon.com/anhonorablepod.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lormet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
And when we come back next week, we've got the NWA Tag Team Title Match and Sting and Vader, both of which are good stuff. However, Shane, let's get to this really quick. We're going to put up another vote here to see what we're going to do next in the at the end of July here. And obviously, you won the vote last time, so if you have anything in mind, that would be great. But otherwise, I'll just go ahead and trot out the other stuff that's going to be on there.
Go ahead. Maybe I'll come up with something by then.
I certainly hope so. Okay, so, all right, I went through the listener picks, and I didn't see nothing really stood out to me, so hit the randomizer, and what came up was actually one of the a show that it's amazing that we never did. It's probably one of the more, one of the better known and slightly controversial shows in the history of professional wrestling. We are coming up on the 25th anniversary of the 1997 Survivor Series.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yes. So on that show, it is Owen Hart defending the Intercontinental title against the returning Stone Cold Steve Austin and Bret Hart defending the WWF Championship against Shawn Michaels. This is in Montreal. On what day is it? Oh yeah, Montreal, November 9th, 1997. So
yes,
that's kind of a big show. So we'll put that up. Let's see. All right, I guess I get to go next. All right, so we're coming on up in the end of July. The end of July is SummerSlam, and SummerSlam is a stadium show this year. And I think we've hit a lot of the big stadium shows in professional wrestling, but there's one that comes to mind that we have not done. It is on the network. It is the infamous WWE Global Warning 2002, Melbourne Colonial Stadium in Melbourne, Australia. 56,700 turnout to see the what was a SmackDown exclusive show, supposedly, and the matches kind of got changed a few times in there. But it is Edge versus Chris Jericho, and it is The Rock defending the WWE title against Triple H and Brock Lesnar in a triple threat, another match that we're never going to see that particular combination of again. So,
wasn't Hogan on that tour, too?
Hogan was supposed to be on that show, but after they had him lose to Brock on television instead, Hogan developed an injury and decided he just couldn't risk that flight to Australia, brother. So
understood. Yeah.
Instead you get Rock and Triple H and so Brock gets thrown into the main event. And they make it a triple threat.
Wow. Okay. So I'll throw one out here, I guess, if we got nothing else going on. What about the Battle of the Belts?
From which one we've done Battle of the Belts one, so which one do you want?
I guess if you've done one, maybe we should do two. That two is Flair and Barry, right?
Yes, it is. Battle of the Belts 2, Flair and Barry Windham. And that's not Not to be confused with the AEW Battle of the Belts too, which was Thunder Rosa and Nyla Rose. This is going to be the Florida Battle of the Belts from 1987, I believe. Yes, it is. So let me go ahead and pull that for you.
There's also a Wahoo versus Bruiser Brody match.
Yes, it is. That's correct. Okay, so I'll wait. That's shoot. Let me just stop this. Okay, CWF Championship Wrestling from Florida. Okay, there we go. Yeah, no, this is February 14th, 1986 in Orlando. And actually, yeah, another interesting, yeah, Bruiser, yeah, Wahoo and Bruiser Brody. And oh yeah, another incident, another interesting six-man. It is the Road Warriors team with Blackjack Mulligan against Kevin Sullivan's army. Kevin Sullivan, Mark Lewin, and Maya Singh. So
that is a combination there.
That's
good Lord Almighty. Yeah, that'll be my vote for this.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that there. Okay. All right, so we got that up, and we're going to need, I'm going to need to get the randomizer here queued up. All right, give the wheel a big spin. Bells or concert. And we go through WWE, ECW, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and we stop at, holy cow, Shane, we stop at WCW pay-per-views. And you know what that means? A pay-per-view that we have not done yet, another one. WCW Sold Out 1998, Charleston, West Virginia. It is Lex Luger versus Randy Savage. And in the main event, Bret Hart makes his WCW debut against Ric Flair.
I thought that took place in Dayton, Ohio somehow. But yeah, that's not a bad show. That also has what Scott Hall against Larry, doesn't it?
I want to say it does, but I will look it up. Yeah. Yeah, so I think we're going to be okay no matter what we get somehow.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one.
All right, so Sold Out 1998. Let me just make sure here. I want to say Charleston, West Virginia. And a second call out. Oh, no, it's Dayton. You're right. Jeez, when was I?
Yeah, how about that?
You're a good one. Good one. Yeah. Let's see.
Use my power.
Hell hath no fury like. Yeah. Three different taglines for this show. Okay, wow. Let me see. You're probably right about, yep, Scott. Yep, Larry Zbyszko and Scott Hall. Oh, my goodness.
How about it? What a geek
wow.
I am.
No, just a, this looks like quite the lineup here. There's a, everything looks like, there shouldn't be any bad matches on this one either. So,
oh, outstanding. Sounds good to me.
Okay, we can do that. We can do any of these. All right, so. That's it. Survivor Series 97. Well, Battle of the Belts 2. Survivor Series 97. Sold Out 98. Global Warning 2002. Yikes. Okay, so no matter what you choose, what's that?
An eclectic mix.
Mm-hmm. Yes, as always around here. So go ahead and vote on Twitter. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. Shane is at one only Shane Shad 1. Bother Jim Valley about it. Make sure he gets a vote. He is at Jim Valley. And leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. No matter where you listen to this show, be sure that they know you're here. And, of course, if you'd like to know more about Rick Rude, Steve Austin, Barry Windham, Dustin Rhodes, or, for that matter, Jesse the Body Ventura, visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or the Wrestling Observer, or just go down, download your local library app because they're all in books. Shane.
Same way back time, same playback channel.
Yep, that's next week. Two of the two big matches as we wrap up another Great American Bash on a Great American show. Until then, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.